You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
We're joined on the line by our elder Dumisani Moyo on the line. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Lovely, man. Lovely. It's been a while since we've last spoken. I hope you've been doing well.
I have been doing well, and I hope on your end it's been well. Of course, there's been a switch in weather. We've gone from like it being very cold in out here in Malawi, and now at least it's getting warmer. It's not quite there yet, but we're getting warmer now, so it's much better weather now. I don't know how it is on your side.
Well, it's been warmer, and we were getting very excited, but all of a sudden we're back to winter.
No way.
I kid you not. We're now back to winter, but lots of snows across the country. Apparently for the better part of this week is going to be sub-freezing degrees, the temperature. So we're bracing ourselves for that this particular week. But hey, what can we do?
What can you do? The good thing is, no matter how the weather changes, we know that God is good still.
God is constant even. Now, talk about the VOP lesson today. The Bible summarized in the Ten Commandments. Now, if you're joining us on the line, we have got Elder Moyo on the line. Think about the last time you needed a guidebook for life. And so today, we have a complete Bible right at our fingertips. And if you don't own a Bible, perhaps you're not even a Christian, I would implore you to just invest in one. Just get a Bible, no matter how cheap you think it is, the word is the same inside. But have you ever wondered how God summarized his entire will before those pages were even written? Well, today we want to explore with the elder how the ten timeless rules naturally split into two life-changing directions. First, the vertical and the horizontal. Whether you are looking to strengthen your faith, or mend a relationship, these ancient guideposts hold true ultimate key to a healthy Christian lifestyle today. So, my elder, we know that God gave Israel the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, before they had written the Bible. Why was it important for God to write his will and summarize it into just 10 rules first?
So that's a very interesting thing that you point out when you talk about the idea that the Ten Commandments or the Ten Rules are summarized basically everything without writing out the entire Bible. So here's why it's important, though, or this is why I feel that God had written these out first. Because remember who we're talking about and who he gave these rules to. Even before these rules came about, these commandments basically iron out one basic principle, and that is the principle of love. And how that principle can be showed horizontally, horizontally between man and man, and also vertically between man and God. And remember that when he was giving these commandments, these were given to people who had lived almost 400 years in captivity, being surrounded by various kinds of gods who said that you must appease me by certain sacrifices or by certain appeasements, by maybe sacrificing your children or giving them gold. But God is saying that I don't want your silver, I don't want your gold. What you need to understand is the relationship. Do not how to treat a holy God and his holy day, but also how to treat his creation and his name, and also his creation and how we respect those who are older than us, respecting our mothers and our parents and honoring our father and our mother, but also to be able to secure family bonds. Besides that, also how to secure the social sanity, if I can put it that way, social peace and maintain that peace. And the reason why he wrote it out, by his own finger, by the way, not someone else's finger. He wrote it out so that they could then realize, who is this God who has delivered us? And therefore, when they were able to see who he is and to understand what his expectations are and what he expects, then they could actually get into, or rather decide whether they continue in the relationship with him after he has already delivered them. By the way, I should say that he had already delivered them. And then he says, let me spell this out for you so that there is no guessing. To say, maybe God would like this, or maybe God would like this, trial and error. He says, no, I want you to know my intentions and my expectations. And so he writes them out by his own finger. Before they even had a Bible, he says, this is love. And that's what he's trying to establish.
Yeah. Now, the lesson described these principles as indispensable for modern living.
Mm.
Why do you think these ancient guidelines remain so vital for navigating complexities of modern society?
So there's two reasons I would give. First of all, these are indispensable, or they are still vital, is because, one, they are true. And you know, the interesting thing about truth is, no matter how long time goes on, that truth remains truth. It's absolute. It may not be comfortable. It may not be... okay, maybe let me put it like this. You know what we call cliches, words that keep coming up. You know, things that we always say that we go like, well, it sounds cliche, but they keep continuing to come up.
Yeah, yeah.
The reason why they come up is because they are true. For example, when they say, no, I am your mother, or I am your father, listen to what I'm saying. And you would say, well, that's a cliche line. Everyone says that. But the reason why it keeps coming up is because it still remains true. Our parents often know much more than we do. So it is the same when it comes to these commandments. The reason why they are indispensable is because they are true. But then the second reason why I would say so is, would you imagine a society that is based on changing rules all the time, like all the rules change all the time? It would be chaos. And who would want a society, or even a household, or even a life that has no rules to it whatsoever, where there are no principles, where there are no lines in which to be able to protect us, boundaries to protect us, just complete chaos? And so these rules are still indispensable for life, and also because they are given by the one who created life, the one who is life himself. God. If the owner of a car ignores the instruction manual that is given from the manufacturer, who says, no, in order for this car to run, you need to run it on let's say petrol, and you decide, no, I think I want it to run on water, my friend, that car will be disposed.
Yeah.
So they are indispensable because they are made, one, they are true, two, they bring order, three, they are from the one who created life himself.
Timeless as well, eh?
Timeless indeed.
Yep.
In that, I know that people would say that, no, these rules, they're old. Maybe they need updating, but truth does not need updating. Truth remains truth as far as there is life. It remains true. So timeless indeed, because what truth is timeless.
Yeah. Now these principles are divided into two natural categories: our duty to God and our duty to people. Why is it important, rather impossible, to successfully live out the second six without practicing the first four?
Ah, now that's an interesting one, because remember, the first four are about our relationship with God.
Yeah.
The last six, which they often say are on the second table, are the ones that have to do with how we treat our fellow man. Now, It's very interesting that these two are intricately tied together. You may think that you are able to love your fellow man and then decide, no, it's okay because I don't have to love God in the process. But here's the thing about it. How can you love without the one who is love being integrated into your heart
yep.
or into your life?
Yeah.
So we say, as 1 John actually does tell us, God is love.
Yeah.
Now, maybe if I can put it like this. If you fill a bucket with water and you empty that water out, after a while, as you use that water will be emptied out and suddenly you have an empty bucket. But it's a good thing, at least if you're next to the source of water, you can fill that bucket up over and over.
Yeah.
Now, if you are not connected to that source of water or next to that source of water, all you'll have is an empty bucket. As soon as you empty yourself out, that's all you have. And to be honest, that's what happens when we try to run on the love that comes from ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We'll run dry because circumstances, people, disappointments, it drains on the love that we have. But when we are connected to God, the eternal source of love, then we are also able to love our fellow men fully and even completely and well. Because if we were to do it from a natural standpoint, we wouldn't be able to do it. I don't think we would be able to do it. We would
not be able to do it at all.
And so, yes, being tied to the source of love helps us to obey the second set, or the first, getting to know God in the first four commandments helps us to love our fellow man in the last six of the commandments.
Mm. Yeah. Now, the lesson refers to these principles as guideposts. What happens to a person's daily Christian lifestyle and decision-making when these guideposts are ignored?
Okay. when these guideposts are ignored.
Mm.
One thing that I like about that question you've asked is that it does tell us that, do we have the choice to be able to ignore the guideposts? Yes, we do.
Mm.
We have that ability. And but then there are consequences that come with that. Let me put it like this. If you... okay. At a certain point in time, I remember we had a curfew in our nation because of I think this was during the time of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea was that, you know what, we're going to have a curfew, everyone be indoors by a certain time. I think everyone be indoors at, I think it was like 7 o'clock or something like that, 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea being that when you are home, you are safe. Maybe I should put it as when we were children. I think that's something we can all relate to. When we were children, our parents told us, by a certain time, you have to be home.
Yes.
And then the question, why? Because when it gets dark, or when it gets at a certain point in time, it's no longer safe for children to be outside.
Mm-hmm.
You become vulnerable. There are people who do very strange things during dark hours, and you want to be safe. Now, this is the point when it comes to the guideposts.
Mm-hmm.
They are not put forward as a prison. No, they are put forward as a fence for safety, to protect our relationship with God, but also to protect our relationship with other people, but also to protect us in those relationships with other people. Because in a relationship, you always make yourself vulnerable. So it protects God, our relationship with God. It protects our relationship with others, and it also protects us in those relationships. Now, if we ignore those guideposts, we can end up in dangerous places. Mm-hmm. The same way we would if we ignored our parents' rules when it came to a curfew. It's not that our parents set out the thieves to come after us. No. or for dangerous things to happen, but they know that these things happen. In the world in which we live in, we know that not everyone has the best intentions for us. And I'm not just talking about physically anymore, I'm talking about even spiritually. And so ignoring those guideposts would put us on the enemy's ground, would put us in a place where we are no longer safe in our Father's arms or safe in our Father's guideposts. It is not a prison, it is a fence to protect. And it all depends on our relationship with the one who owns the guideposts. If we do not love him in the first place, it will feel like a prison. It will feel like a prison if we are not his children. But if we are his children and he is our home, those guideposts become protection.
Now, lastly, before I let you go, can we keep them at all if we try very hard? Do we have a power to obey them?
Let me take us back to the book of Exodus when God was giving these commandments. Just before in Exodus chapter 20, there is something that comes up after they realize that, well, I think it's Exodus 19 and 20. When they see God come down and he starts speaking his word and he starts saying it, and there is lightning, there is thunder, there is fire in the mountain, and the people then say to Moses, oh no, we can't go up there. We can't even hear his voice. You go up and you hear him. And then when they did hear the commandments, and when Moses gave these commands, I mean, read these out and let the people know what God is saying, they then said, we will do all these things. And yet, was it no more than a month, not even more than a month later, not very long after that, they find themselves disobeying already the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me, and they made a golden calf. Here's the thing. When we try to keep these commands by ourselves, without the help of the one who has made these commandments, or without the love that these commandments are built on, then we cannot. Our righteousness, even when we do that, is like filthy rags. And actually, it is not natural for us. And yet, what God says is, what you need is a new heart. With that new heart that I give you, and I'm not just talking about a new heart one time, we're talking about daily, coming to God and saying, Lord, give me a new heart that I may be able to obey you, that I may be able to come into closer relationship with you. That is what God seeks for us, not for us to be weighed down, trying really hard. Because I'll tell you one thing, I've tried that before, and suffocating. When you try to keep the law without asking for his spirit.
Yes.
Try to keep the letter without the spirit. You end up making up rules for yourself that aren't even what he intended. You end up being more strict on other people than you even need to be. And it ends up becoming something that it comes up empty. And you're just trying harder. But when you realize that the one who made these commands loves you, and all those commandments are not just commands, they are promises. When he says, you won't have any other gods before me, he's saying that I am your God. And first of all, actually, all the commandments start out with one thing, and we often ignore it. And it says, I am the God who has delivered you out of Egypt. I am the one who has taken you out of all the bondage. And he's first of all establishing the fact that I'm the one who is not just rescuing from sin. I'm not just saving you from sin. I'm saving you to myself. I'm bringing you to me. Now that you are mine, I will make sure that you have no other gods before you.
Mm.
I will make sure that you are, that you, that my name will be made manifest well in your life. I will make sure that you, that when it comes to my name, you will not use it in vain. Others will actually see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And that the Sabbath is actually going to be kept by you because this is our, this is the day that is our relationship. It builds our relationship. And so it becomes a joy, a delight to have the word of the Lord and to have the commandments of the Lord, because they become, what does it say? What does that say? The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. It makes wise the simple, and it brings joy to the hurting. And they, it is more precious than gold, sweeter than the honeycomb. That is the delight of the law of the Lord. If we remove him from, if we try to do it in ourselves, it will no longer be a delight, but a drudgery.
Beautiful stuff, man. Lovely conversation. My elder, we'll talk to you tomorrow at the same time and same place. Goodbye for now.
Thank you very much. You have a great day. Blessed day to you all.
Thank you so much, and bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.